If you're looking for the best horror, thriller, sci-fi, and WTF audio fiction this side of the apocalypse, then you should listen to The Other Stories. With over 500 stories on the podcast feed already, and new stories dropping every single Monday morning, The Other Stories is your new best friend. Check out The Other Stories today on any and all podcast platforms, or head to theotherstories.net. After all, these aren't the stories your mother used to tell you. These are The Other Stories.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to The Horror Hangout, a podcast where film fans watch the best and worst horror movies of all time and talk about them. Today's episode is a bonus episode chatting all about one of the films premiering at Fright Fest this week. My name is Ben Errington, and today I'm joined by a very special guest. Takeshi Kishida is the director of My Mother's Eyes, which has its international premiere at Fright Fest in London on Monday, the 28th of August. Welcome to the show, Takeshi. Hello.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for inviting me for Q&A. It's my first English Q&A, so I'm a bit nervous, but I'm looking forward to talking with you.
Wonderful. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining the show. And I mean, it's an honor that your first Q&A in English is with me. I wouldn't describe myself as an expert in English, but hopefully we'll get through this together. So, but thank you again for joining us, and obviously congratulations on My Mother's Eyes as well.
Thank you so much. We have a first international screening next week, so very excited.
That's the first international screening, so I'm assuming you've had screenings in Japan already.
In July we had first screening at Skip City International Film Festival, and we have a first international screening at Fright Fest
on Monday the 28th. I'll be attending, and you're attending as well, which is very, very exciting.
Yes.
Amazing. That's great. Be great to meet you. How did the screenings go in Japan? Were they?
Everyone was shocked.
Okay.
Because it's a local film festival. Not audiences are like how can I say, not very film goer. And they saw the explicit film, so so they were a bit surprised, and Q&A went very exciting. Why did you make that? And what is this film all about?
Yeah, well, at least they had questions, I guess. Yeah. I think when you come away from a film and you have lots of questions, I think that shows that it's a very thought-provoking movie, doesn't it? I'll just read out a few details on the movie, Takeshi, so our listeners are aware. So My Mother's Eyes is the psycho fantasy of a mother and daughter who achieve love and honesty through imaginary bodies when a futuristic contact lens device with a built-in camera and VR goggles changes their lives forever. So obviously a very, very intense film with a lot of interesting subtext and lots about technology is front and center, and the relationship between a mother and daughter as well. So, I mean, how did the idea for that film, how did the idea for the film come to be? How was it shaped into a feature length? I'm aware it's your second feature length movie. Was this always intended to be the follow-up to your debut feature, which is Woman of the Photographs?
Yeah, there are similarity from my first feature, Woman with Photograph. The both film deal with the uncertainty of identity caused by technological progress. And for the My Mother's Eyes, I have been interested in contact lens with built-in camera. And I saw the article of the scientist who has been developing that kind of device. I think it was about 5 years ago. And actually, it was supposed to be for sale in a couple of years. Wow. And if you wear that, What you see is always streamed online. So, wow. Yeah. And if you share your vision to the other person, he or she can become yourself.
Yeah. It really is an amazing concept. Yeah. And of course, the character also sees an article on their phone and starts reading it. So I guess that was the exact moment that you'd been through as well when you first started, when you sort of...
Yes, it is. It is, absolutely.
Yeah. And I guess technology, VR, AI, everything like that is becoming more and more prevalent in our day-to-day lives. So this film almost feels like it's arrived at the perfect time to sort of have a say on that, on those debates, I guess.
Yeah, it's the... My Mother's Eyes is a film to see in 2023. If it's 5 years later, it may be too late. And if it's 5 years ago, it may be too early. This is the time, suitable time for watching.
That's absolutely perfect then, isn't it? For to strike while the iron is hot, to discuss these issues. I mean, how does your relationship with technology feed into the movie? Because they seem to be quite reliant. All the characters are very reliant on technology that helps them get by. Even the character of the daughter is sort of experimenting and enjoying VR and before, say, I won't spoil anything, but before an interesting event takes place.
I have been working in commercial industry for 15 years. So commercial industry, if you work for commercial industry, you see a lot of new technologies and a lot of fakes, you know. You know, we can change the reality photography skills or retouching skills. So we are good at distorting the reality.
I didn't mean to interrupt there. I was just going to say, I guess you see a lot of things advertised like this is where technology will be in 5 years, in 10 years, and it never quite keeps up with those expectations.
Yeah. You mean the reality is not going that much fantastic than we thought?
Yeah, of course. We don't have flying cars. We don't have hoverboards. Yeah. We don't have anything like that. But of course, in like the 70s and 80s, we believed that the world was going to look like this. Well, I mean, the world of Blade Runner seemed like it was going to be... If in the 1980s we said, what was 2023 going to look like? I think a lot of people would have pictured Blade Runner.
Yeah, I think... I don't know why, but maybe it's because... we should have commercial success first.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And imagination, people's imagination are getting more and more depressive than 70s or 60s. So maybe nowadays we are good at imagining the dystopia than utopia.
Yeah, most definitely. I think so. I guess the next question that I was going to ask is obviously the technology and the story that you in My Mother's Eyes is very grounded in realism. It feels like something that could take place. It doesn't feel too fantastical, for example. Was that something you were always keen to make sure it stayed rooted in realism? It stayed very real to you?
I used to be a football player. and
did you? Like soccer?
Soccer, yes.
Yeah. Soccer. I call it football. I would always call it football. But yeah. Oh, wow. Amazing.
So I'm always conscious about the regulation.
Yeah.
You know, as a sports player. And before making film, I make the regulation. And no monsters or no psychics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything that feels like not nothing too supernatural, I guess is what you're saying, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting that being a footballer has allowed you to sort of stay in the regulation of that. What was your position on the football pitch, if you don't mind me asking, Takeshi? Where did you play?
Goalkeeper.
Oh my God. Well, safe hands. I think you obviously had to be sort of very keen on regulation as a goalkeeper as well, didn't you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Because
wow.
Goalkeeper is, you know, we have decided how many steps we can walk or how many seconds we have. So very stressful position.
Yeah, the most high pressure of the positions. How do you think that being in that stressful situation has in any way translated over to being a filmmaker? That's probably a crazy question.
Of course. Of course. Because filmmaking is always stressful. Yeah. And after writing a script, my position is like accused or asked. So I have to deal with the problem well and see what others are doing. That kind of skill is similar for goalkeeper and filmmaker.
I suppose as a filmmaker, you're kind of telling everybody what to do as a goalkeeper. Yeah. You might be shouting instructions as well. That's fascinating. That really is fascinating. So I guess obviously the relationship between mother and daughter in the movie is present. It's somewhat unconventional. It even feels quite taboo at times. It almost feels like it doesn't feel like a standard relationship between mother and daughter. How did you manage that with the actors? Was it easy to direct them? Did they understand your vision fairly quickly?
The mother and daughter were very good obeying me. I don't know.
Yeah.
I wanted to say it softly, but my English is not very good.
I completely understand now.
It's because mother and daughter it's their first appearance in film.
Mm.
So they don't know how to act. So
it's their very first role. Is that correct?
Very first role.
Wow. Okay.
So I didn't need to discuss a lot. I just give my my order.
Instructions? I guess.
Yeah, instructions. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I guess. Yeah. If it's their first role, I guess they're eager to eager to get it right. I guess. I wouldn't have thought it was their first role at all. I think they're both fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're both fantastic.
Yeah, and I really understood their pain as well, like mm-hmm. all the way through. Obviously, the film seems to explore their codependency very deeply.
Yeah.
Were there any personal experiences of yours that went into making this film?
Yes. My mother is a very good mother. I think she lost a lot for me, for raising me, like her career or her youth or relationship with friends. Mm. It's a perfect mother for me, but maybe a bit crazy to be the perfect mother. You know, it's a strange thing. Perfect mother is an insane person.
Yeah. I guess like motherhood is something that seems to be very, very present in Asian cinema. I think less so in other areas of the world. I think motherhood and relationships between mothers and children seems to always be present. And I've always found that extremely fascinating. Is where that's kind of why I asked that question, because I kind of felt that, especially watching this movie, I kind of felt that coming across very strongly.
Yeah, maybe the motherhood is more required in Asia than England, maybe.
I think so. I think so. Yeah, I would say so. Of course, this is your second movie. Fright Fest selected your debut feature, Woman of the Photographs, as part of their Discovery lineup in 2020. And of course, 40 festival awards with that, and it's been released in 7 countries since then. How did you choose Fright Fest for this time around for the film to be shown? From My Mother's Eyes, was it always going to happen, considering your first one was shown at Fright Fest?
Yes, because I used to live in London for 6 months.
Oh wow! Okay.
6 months, and then Kent, Maidstone.
Oh wow!
For 3 years.
Amazing! I've got a friend who lives there.
I do. UK screening is always my dream, because you know, now they are doing in Leicester Square, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
That's where I used to watch Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man, or Lord of the Rings. So it's my pleasure to come back with
it's almost like
my cinema,
a homecoming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Amazing. So I guess when Woman of the Photographs was shown in 2020, that was during COVID. So I guess that was all online. Yeah.
Online. Yeah.
Yeah. Not the same.
Yeah. So I was waiting for a next chance to go to Fright Fest. And I'm so glad I can be there.
Yeah, going there as a filmmaker as well. That must feel incredible. And to be able to see, I know obviously you've shown the film at other events and other festivals, but to sort of witness an audience reacting to everything as well. Especially something like Fright Fest, where everyone is there. You said before about the film being shown at an event where people weren't really film goers. Obviously at Fright Fest, everyone's a film goer. Everyone's a huge genre filmmaking fan, so that's incredible. I mean, talking about genre filmmaking coming out of Japan, are there any current trends you see happening or going to happen in the next couple of years?
You mean how genre filmmakers are doing in Japan?
Yeah, I mean in terms of like any trends in terms of like styles of filmmaking, or maybe even like genres or sub-genres that are going to be popular that you see?
Have you seen The Ring? Ring or Grudge?
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah, sure, I have. There is actually, I mean, I'm sure you know this, Takeshi. I'm sorry if I'm giving you information you already have. There's the J Horror documentary showing at Fright Fest as well, which I've got tickets for. So looking forward to seeing that as well.
J Horror movement happened in, I think it was about 25 years ago or 30 years ago. And we are the generation that we experienced J-horror in 10 years old or 15 years old, and then became a filmmaker and trying to escape from J-horror. So,
oh yeah, of course. I
because after becoming filmmaker, the legendary J-horror filmmakers become our rival, our enemy. So we have to make something new, make something better than them.
Yeah, because there was the J-horror wave, and then everybody was trying to copy and replicate that. And then I guess it worldwide, anything that came out of Japan that had anything related to horror would have been instantly thought it has to have these elements. Obviously, there was J-horror, and then another question I was going to ask is obviously that there in Japan there was a bit of a like a technological horror wave as well, like in early 2000s, would you say? Obviously with things like Pulse, and I guess this obviously is a very, very different take on your movie, sorry Takeshi, is a very different take on that sort of techno horror, in a way, because there's no supernatural elements. But still, did anything from those waves in sort of the 90s and then obviously into 2000s, did any of that still affect you and inspire you?
Of course, because watching film and making film is like breathing. We take and we let it go. So after watching J-horror movie or Kiyoshi Kurosawa film or Ring, Grudge, must be influence remains in my body.
Yeah, all the classics as well, I guess, all the classics of Japanese horror. Japanese cinema, not just Japanese horror. That's fascinating. That honestly is fascinating. So obviously you're going to be at the event, you're going to be at Fright Fest, attending. Are you there for the whole event to watch other films as well?
Yeah, I'm planning to.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, it will be great to meet you, Takeshi. It would be great to catch up. We could talk about Japanese football as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, after the film premieres at Fright Fest, where will people be able to watch the film? Is there a future release date for English audiences?
It's not decided. There are some festival I'm going, like North America, but for English audience, maybe it take a little bit time after Fright Fest. But my first feature, Uma of the Photographs, should be released in England in this year, or distributor is decided, but waiting for the queue.
Yeah, of course. So are you going to North America? Is it fairly soon after Fright Fest?
The information is not released yet, but it's in October, and I'm going there.
Wow, amazing! How excited that honestly is. It must be great. So. Is there anything you're working on now? Have you moved on to another feature? Is it all under wraps and all secret and you can't tell us? But
yeah, I'm nowadays I'm writing film plot and pitching to producers.
And again, I don't want you to reveal too much, but are you thinking of sticking to the same genre? Are there any other genres that you would like to make a movie in?
Some element of some plots have very strong genre film, and some plots have little genre plot. So there's no straight love story or So
I guess it's even difficult to put My Mother's Eyes in the box of genre, because even though it's shown at Fright Fest, and I guess there are some elements of horror, from the outside looking in, I don't think you'd necessarily say it was a horror film, would you? I know, obviously, psychological thriller is probably a better way of describing it. A fantasy movie, a family drama, you could even describe it as.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, amazing. Obviously, I've seen the film, and I loved it, and looking forward to seeing it on the big screen. Again, I highly recommend our audiences check it out when it's available. Obviously, we'll keep everybody up to speed with that. But yeah, at the event, it'd be great to catch up. We can possibly do a post-screening chat if you're up for that, Takeshi. It'd be great to speak to you after the screening and sort of see how everybody has reacted. But thank you so much for taking the time to speak to me. I enjoyed it. I hope you did too.
I did, of course.
Wonderful. And again, thank you so much. Your first Q&A in English with me. I feel incredibly privileged. So thank you. Looking forward to seeing you in London. So thanks, everybody, for listening. If you enjoyed the show, become a patron over at patreon.com/horrorhangout. Thanks so much for joining us, Takeshi. See you very soon.
See you soon.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.